Blog Talk Radio. Throw the play. Praise the Lord. Anybody there?
Mr. Regina.
Amen, amen, amen. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now. Bless you.
My God, somebody help with this new technology.
Yeah, we
got you now. Got a new phone? I got a new phone and do not know how to work it. I had it on mute and did not know how to get back into it for mute. But anyhow, we're going to move forward. Amen, amen, amen. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. Once again, we are Blog Talk Radio. And we are New Beginnings Ministry here this Wednesday. And we'd like to thank you for tuning in. We're not going to belabor anything. We're going to move on forward. We have one of our favorite speakers, Pastor Dawn Mixon from out of Long Island, New York, who is speaking this evening, and she has a word for you. Amen. Let's get down. Let's get to the root of the problem. All right, let's get to the root of the problem. So we're anxious to hear what God has placed on our heart again, and I do want to thank you for being patient as I fiddled around with my phone and tried to find how to take it off of mute. Amen. So please pray for this brother. We're moving on over into Long Island, New York. Pastor Mixon, are you there?
Yes. Praise the Lord, everybody. Everybody. So grateful to be with you on tonight and excited for the word of the Lord tonight. And for all of you, please call somebody and text them this number. Let them know we are on the line on Talk Blog Radio. And we want to share with you, and hopefully you will share back with us. And I was dealing with this particular text on the other day, and the Lord gave me this. And so we're going to Luke, the 13th chapter. We're going to the Gospel of Luke 13. And we'll be reading verses 10 through 17. It's a familiar scripture. We've heard it over and over again, preached so many times. But there is no new Bible, and so there must be fresh revelation. And so we pray that God will open up something to us that we did not see before. So our Father and our God, we thank you, Almighty God. We thank you for being such a kind God to us. We pray that God, that every listening ear will hear and be open unto you on tonight. We pray that
yes,
it will cause us to push us into our destiny in light, and it will cause us to see you and the power that lies within you, and that we also, you have given us the same authority and power because we are your children, and we give your name
yes,
the honor and the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. All right, we're going to Luke 13, and we're going to start at verse 10. We're going to read down to verse 17, and then I will share with you what the Lord has given unto us. And now I, again, am going to, my members know that I kind of stay in the easy-to-read version just so that we can get clarity of the text of where God is taking us to. So it may read something different in your Bibles if you do not have the easy-to-read version. You may have your King James Amplified or many different things, but it is going to all come together. Amen? All right.
Amen.
Verse 10, Jesus taught in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath day. A woman was there who had an evil spirit inside her. It had made the woman crippled for 18 years. Her back was always bent. She could not stand up straight. And when Jesus saw her, he called to her, "Woman, you have been made free from your sickness." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was able to stand up straight. She began praising God, and the synagogue leader was angry because Jesus healed her on the Sabbath day. And he said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come to be healed. healed on one of those days. Don't come for healing on the Sabbath day. And the Lord answered, you people are hypocrites. All of you untie your work animals and lead them to drink water every day, even on the Sabbath day. This woman that I healed is true, a true descendant of Abraham. But Satan has held her for 18 years. Surely it is not wrong for her to be made free from her sickness on a Sabbath day. When Jesus said this, all those who were criticizing him felt ashamed of themselves. And all the people were happy for the wonderful things he was doing. All right, I want to thank for a subject tonight, and I hope that you all will help me tonight see what God is saying. But we want to take for a subject on tonight, let's get to the root of the problem. Let's get to the root of the problem. Sometimes we tend to feel in life, whether we are in Christendom or not, those who believe that there is a God, oftentimes we feel that he has forgotten us because we look at our life and wonder why things are not happening for us in the time of our expectation, especially when we are in a need of urgency. It's something about when urgency comes around, all of a sudden we want to hear from God immediately. And when we don't, we feel God has forgotten us. But life has a way of taking us through a systematic series of cycles with no end in sight. And what I mean by that is that we continue to go through different things in our life, a series of cycles, one thing after the next, and it's in our minds, we don't see the end of it happening. Oftentimes, we find ourselves repeating the things we once thought we had under control because we did not feel or see any effects of it working within us. So we called what we did not see our deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
And what we were really dealing with was a suppressed emotion laying dormant, waiting to be infected again. Okay, I'm going to explain this to you because a lot of times we feel like if we are not working in a situation that we have issues in, we feel, okay, because I don't feel or I don't see or I'm not acting in or acting out on what I normally feel that is not godly. Oftentimes we think that we're delivered from it because we do not act on it. And sometimes the reason why we don't act on certain things that are still laying dormant within us is because of the environment we're in. And that's why it's very important that we do not allow ourselves to be around people with the same like issues, because people with the same like issues just continue to reinfect one another. There is no sign of deliverance because we continue to enable one another in the issues we have. And so sometimes when we go outside of what is our issues or outside of people who have the same issues and we deal with people who are not dealing with the same issues, we then turn ourselves from that issue and we grab hold to another issue. And this is a series of different cycles that take place in our life. And we think that we're delivered because we are no longer dealing with that particular issue, if you could follow me. But what we must understand is until God lets us and we have gone to God and we know that we are in a place of true deliverance, we will realize that we will not be reinfected again by those issues. And so that's why a lot of times people talk about the old church, because the old church would make you sit down or kneel down at the altar and you would have to tarry for deliverance and tarry for the Holy Ghost back in those days. And they say, oh, this is not what we need anymore. You know, God doesn't work that way. But God works in different ways, I find. The Bible lets us know whenever Jesus may have healed someone, the Bible says that sometimes it happened immediately or it may have happened as they went or not many days later. And so what we must understand is a lot of things that we are looking for within our healing is a lot of times it's based on what and where our faith is. And so when we have an understanding, and I said this to our church on Sunday, and it was, to me, it was very powerful to me because a lot of times we don't really realize, but we have to understand that it is difficult sometimes to deal with the issues that we have as long as we have learned how to adapt to what is affecting us. This is a major problem, because a lot of times, because it seems that we've been dealing with a situation so long, instead of trying to get delivered from it, we give up to it, and we adapt to the things that are going on with us. And then not only do we adapt it, but then after a certain period of time, we then accept it. And that's a problem because we cannot get to a place of deliverance when we accept what is an issue for our life. And we now have accepted it so much to the point where we have allowed it to become a part of our livelihood. It is a part of our very being. And so we have to be very careful. And I shared this with the church on Sunday. I said, well, we learn how to trust in an unseen God that can solve a seen problem in spite of how we think or see things to be within our lives, we have to know that when we can trust the unseen God to solve the seen problem, that's when we know we have undeniable faith. Because when I trust God to take care, when I trust a God that I cannot see, solve a problem that I see every day, and I don't give up on the unseen God, but I continue to believe and trust that no matter what I look at, or no matter what I see, or no matter what the devil has tried to put in front of me, I believe the unseen God can turn around the situation that I see. And I'm telling you, when you have that undeniable faith, it does not matter if you've gone through a situation for year after year after year, which brings me to my text. It brings me to my text because this woman, we have heard this text so many different times. Our Bishop Jakes has gone through and out of this particular text. I love the way he brought forth that text concerning woman, thou art loose. But as I look at this particular text, I'm looking at why she was loose or what was she loose from. This woman in the Bible says that Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, first of all, which lets me know that he wasn't necessarily always in the same synagogue every Sabbath. And so he's teaching in one of the synagogues, and the Bible says that he saw a woman who was dealing with a spirit or an evil spirit or a spirit of infirmity that was within her. Watch this. And the spirit or the evil spirit that was within her affected her on the outside because we could not see what was in her, but we could see the result or the side effects of what was going on inside of her. Okay, let me understand. There are those who have dealt with many different sicknesses, and we may not know what the sickness is, but there are times where we see signs of the side effects of the result of the sickness that might be dormant or that might be inside of an individual. And sometimes I have a friend of mine who has a problem with his kidneys. And with his kidneys, when his kidneys shut down, as he began to go through the process not being able to have a kidney, he would go on dialysis. And what would happen is, he said, my problem is that my biggest problem that I have is that even when I deal with the dialysis, he says, because of what I'm dealing with on the inside, I then have to now deal with the lesions that come out on my face or in my body, And those things bother me because it shows a sign of my sickness. It shows a sign of what I'm going through. And so a lot of times we can look at people and never see or never know that they are ill. But then there are times where we can see things that we don't understand. Well, why do you have this on your face? Or why is that on your back? Because sometimes it is a result of what's on the inside that is crippling us on the outside. And in order for us to get free from what we see or man sees on the outside, we've got to deal with what's going on in the inside. And that's why I love about Jesus. When he saw her, he called to her. When she was there, the Bible says that this woman was dealing with an infirmity, watch this, for 18 years. But the powerful thing that this woman does is that even though she's dealing with an evil spirit for 18 years, she still shows up to church. She did not let what was going on with her body stop her from getting to the house of God. She still went to the house of God to be taught. But the Bible says that when Jesus saw her, he called to her. And when he called to her, he spoke to the thing that was going on in her. He said to her, "Woman, you are free from your infirmity." Okay? It's amazing to me because his choice words that he uses. He doesn't say, "Woman, straighten yourself up." He says, "Woman, you are free from your infirmity." And what the infirmity was the evil spirit that was within her. The crippleness or her being bent over, not being able to lift herself up, was a result of what was going on inside of her. So he didn't speak to the issue that we saw or the crippleness. He spoke to the thing that made her crippled. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yes.
If somebody can understand what God does, he gets to the root of the problem. He doesn't just Band-Aid the problem. He gets to the thing that is causing the problem. And when he gets to the thing that's causing the problem, then everything else that's attached to the problem then has to revert and has to go back to its former state, because he went in, and the Bible says not only did he call to her and then speak to the thing that was binding her, but then he said, the Bible says that he laid hands on her. And when he laid hands on her, the Bible says that immediately she was free from the infirmity. Watch this. And the Bible says then she began to praise and worship God. We've got to look at the situation that Jesus does. Jesus does not just fix a situation that oftentimes a doctor will try to give you something to ease the pain, because the Bible says this was an incurable disease. It was not something she could be cured from, because it was a spirit. And so the Bible says that the woman was free. What's this? I've been working in dentistry for 18 years. So we constantly deal with infections and different things like that. And so when I looked at this text, it reminded me so much of those people who come in our office. And when they come into our office, they may have an infection in their mouth. And what ends up happening, a result of that, their face may become swollen because of the infection that is in their mouth. It does not matter if you put ice on what we're looking at. It does not matter, because we look at it and we say it's swollen. Then we think, okay, if I can treat what everybody's looking at, then maybe I'll be okay. So oftentimes when we see something like that, we want to fix the problem. And so the first thing that the doctor will do is then put them on an antibiotic. I'm going somewhere with this. And when they go and they get the antibiotic, they take it for a period of time. And so it began to calm the infection down, which as a result of that will cause the swelling to go down. But after a while, because the root of it has not been treated, it can come back. And so then what we do is, if the infection remains, then we go in and we do what we call a root canal. I hope somebody's with me. And when we do a root canal, what happens is we go into the canals of the teeth and we bring out the nerves that are in the teeth and we remove them to save the tooth. Oftentimes we just want to remove the tooth and get rid of it and say, I don't want to deal with the tooth, just take it out. But no, the best thing to do is save the tooth if you can. And so when we do that, we go inside the tooth and we remove the nerve out of the tooth, and then we may put you on antibiotics again, and then we will cover the tooth, all right? And then we'll put a crown on top of the tooth. That's so good right there. We'll crown the tooth. So it will preserve the tooth. And there are some of you who are listening to me today that have been dealing with things, infirmities, and dealing with infections within you. And so we end up treating the tooth, and it was not enough. And so then we go back in, and we go and we take the nerve out, and everything seems good. Everything seems wonderful. Everything says, okay, I'm over that. And we believe that we have everything under control because I don't feel the effect of the tooth bothering me no more. I don't have no pain. I don't have any swelling. Everything is fine. Then all of a sudden, you'll find years later that the tooth is bothering you again. And then you ask yourself the question, how in the world could this tooth be bothering me again when there's no nerve in the tooth? Oh, my God. In order for us to fix the root canal, you first have to see an endodontist. An endodontist is a root canal specialist, and they remove the nerve. But then something happens. After time, there comes a time where a root canal can fail, all right? And when the root canal fails, what ends up happening is that there is an infection that comes underneath the root of the tooth. And when the infection comes under the root of the tooth, then they have to then see another specialist, which is a surgeon. And the surgeon sees the tooth, and they say, well, look, the only way that we can save this tooth is that we have to go into the gum of the tooth and get into the root of the tooth to pull out the infection that's in the tooth and seal it from underneath. Oh, my God. There are some of us who think that we've got everything under control. And when we think we got everything under control, when something self arises again and we thought that we were delivered from a certain thing, we thought we were free from a certain thing, we find out that we had to see another specialist. And because we had to see another specialist, they go into the root of the problem and they fix where it is in the root. Watch this. The endodontist went into the canal and took out the nerve, and it stopped the pain. Watch this. But there came a time where the thing still was not fixed, and so the surgeon had to go inside and go to the root of where things were really lying dormant and free them from what was going on. And I come to let you know on tonight, there are some of us who are keep going over and over and over and over again. And God said, I have to get into the root of the problem. I can't just do this surface healing. I need you to be completely set free and delivered. I need you to make sure that what happened with this, with your life, has to be completely made whole as if it had never come into your life ever before. And so I looked at the text and I said, my God, I love the fact that Jesus spoke to her. He spoke to the thing. He spoke to the infirmity. He spoke to the thing that showed the result of what was going on the outside. And then as I began to read this text a little further, the Bible says that it was the seventh day. Now, we know it was the custom that there was no work that should be done on the Sabbath day. Am I right? And because there was no work that was supposed to be done on the Sabbath day, watch this, the Bible says that the synagogue leader was angry because Jesus healed on the Sabbath day. Then he almost comes with a rebuke of some sort and says to the people, now you got 6 days out of the week that you can come here for healing. So use one of those days to come and get healed. Don't come here on a Sabbath day to be healed. Oh, my God. Jesus never lets things slide when he sees something that is just completely out of sorts. He immediately says to them, He says to them, you are a bunch of hypocrites. He says, this woman is a descendant, Abraham. Watch this. And she has been bound or tied up for 18 years by a spirit. But he says to him, because, you know, I love how Jesus can check folk. And because he'll let them know, you're doing the same thing, but I'm doing something that's blessing somebody. You're still working. The Bible says that he said, now how many of you who has an animal, a working animal, and you untie that animal and lead it to water every day, watch this, including the Sunday. Surely, this woman who's been tied up for 18 years can be delivered on a Sabbath day. Oh, my God. Here is another problem that I see that needs Jesus correct from the root. Y'all don't hear me. It is in the root of the synagogue. It is in the root of the church. It is in the root where we talk about, we have this expectation now in church that people are already supposed to come here, come to the church, already have it all figured out, already delivered, already set free, or do it in a certain time frame. And I've realized that what we've got to understand is that some people, they come to church because they're looking for deliverance. How many times did that woman come to church and did not get free? She had it for 18 years, but she kept going to the synagogue. She went to the synagogue. How many times did she go to the synagogue? She could have gone at least 18 years of this infirmity, but did not get delivered. And nobody saw her like Jesus saw her. See, the thing is that when we get to the church, you can't put a time frame on people's deliverance. Watch this now, but be ever so careful, because sometimes people, I don't have a problem with you staying in church with the mindset that you want to be delivered. If you come to church with deliverance on your mind, saying this is a Sunday and you're not giving up, you're holding on to your faith, you have what I call the undeniable faith, where I talked about how you have not been set free and you've been dealing with the same thing over and over again, but you still trust that the unseen God is going to take care of the seen problem that you have in your life, and you keep coming to church and you keep coming to church with the expectation that God is going to deliver you on this day, and every day you don't give up. I don't have a problem with those people. Keep coming to church. Keep coming. Keep seeking after your deliverance. My problem is with people who come to church and they're not looking for deliverance. They're coming to look as predators to go into the church to try to convert people to them, because they have adapted to the things that they could not change themselves. And because they could not change it themselves, they always want somebody to ride along with them, because they say to themselves, okay, I can't change myself, and I'm tired of trying to get deliverance. I've been dealing with this for 18 years. It don't look like I'm going to be free, but I'm still going to come to church, but I'm not going to come to church. I'm going to come to church, and I'm going to live my life any kind of way I want to, because we say within ourselves, when we do this, we're saying that God is powerless to deliver us, because he did not do it in a time frame that we thought that we should have been delivered. So you have those who are in the situation who don't think they can be delivered, and they keep coming, and they just give over to that acceptance of their issue. And then you have those who come to church and see the issue, and then they don't want, then they have a problem with those who come to church who has the issue, and they feel like they're taking too long to be delivered. God said, I'm going to get to the root of the problem, not only in this woman, but I'm going to get to the root of the problem within the church. Because the root of the problem is in the church is, I am still building my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I don't care how many times the church, we come to church, you're going to always have people who come to church with problems. That's what the church is for. How long did it take for you to get delivered before, when you got, from the time you got saved to this point in your life? Some folks are still waiting for deliverance in certain issues in their life, and they've been there for 40 years. Watch this. But even though I'm in a place that I need deliverance, I'm not giving up on God. Why am I dealing with this? Why am I going through this? There are some things that is like a thorn in our flesh, and we wrestle with that thorn, and we want God to remove it, but he does. Why doesn't he not remove this? God, won't you just take this away from me? Even though I may not act on the issue, I'm still feeling the result of the issue. Watch this. I don't indulge with the issue, but I'm not totally free from the issue. It is laying dormant inside of me, and I want to be free from it. But watch this. It is a reminder to me that every time I think that I'm above myself, even though, especially with people who have been used and gifted by God to be used in the kingdom of God, we can never think that we are above God, because God will set a reminder in us to let us know that we are not greater than God. Because sometimes you've got to realize that even there are those who will try to take the God's glory, and we see this so many times. And I shared this before. We are in a in a generation, or we're in a season, or in a time where people are so title heavy and Jesus weak, because we want to have the title and the glory that comes with the title. Instead of giving the glory to God, we try to take the glory for ourselves. But the truth of the matter is, you cannot handle God's glory.
Amen.
You can't. You cannot really handle what comes with the glory of God. You've got to, whatever people say to you, I give it back to God. Give the glory back to God. Even though God used you as a vessel, the glory belongs to God.
That's right. Say that.
Yes.
That's right.
And because of that, he gives us reminders to let us know how infallible we are. The only reason why we're capable of doing whatever we do on the anointing of God, we are only capable of doing it because we have the anointing of God within us.
Because of
him. Thank you, Jesus.
My God, today.
Because
so
of him.
There has to, we got to get to the root of the problem. The root of the problem is, a lot of times we cannot allow the infirmity to overtake our life. I love this woman because she doesn't give up. She keeps coming. And it just so happens this particular day, Jesus showed up at this synagogue. And when he showed up at this synagogue, the Bible says he didn't wait for her to call him. She didn't have to do like the woman and touch the hem of his garment. All she did was show up.
Yeah, that's good.
And when she showed up, he just called her. See, a lot of times we miss out on our deliverance because we don't show up.
Show up.
You never know what Sunday or what encounter or what person that you may run into.
Yes.
Because you got to realize, deliverance don't always come just only in the sanctuary.
Yes.
God can deliver you wherever, but you've got to still be open even in your infirmity. You still have to have the mindset and the openness that God can deliver me at any time. I know I'm bent over. I know I can't see everybody. I know all I've been looking at is my feet. I know that my body seems as if it has become accustomed to my way of walking, my way of living. But no, I want the opportunity to be free. Watch this. And God, if you don't free me today, if you don't free me tomorrow, I still trust and believe that you shall free me. But until you do free me, I'm going to continue to keep seeking after you.
Yes.
And basically, what we're saying to you on tonight is, do not give up just because you're dealing with something on the inside that has not been fixed. Let's understand, because the majority of our issues that we deal with are on the inside of us. That's why it's so easy for us to cover it. And a lot of times we walk around and we're dealing with serious issues, whether it be sickness, indiscretion, whether it be financial difficulty, whether it be emotional or mental, whatever it may be, all of those things are hidden from those who are around you. But the results of it come out in different ways. Okay, let me help you. When you're going through financial difficulties, nobody knows it until you lose your car. You get put out your house. Uh-huh. You're no longer able to afford your bills. You're not able to do certain things that will attach itself to financial things. And so then what we now see the result of is because you're having a financial difficulty, now those who are around you see that you're having a problem where you're unable to take care of certain things in your household. Okay. The next thing, when we look at certain sicknesses that happen in our body, a lot of times the result of it will cause us to be slower, will cause us maybe a result of it, like I said, might cause different lesions or swelling or different things on the outside of us. Our eyes might show our illness. Our hair may fall out. It shows our illness. So we now see a result from what's going on in the inside that we did not see before.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the room. Watch this. If you have cancer and your hair falls out, you putting a wig on top of it does not fix the problem.
Mm-hmm.
It covers what the problem is. And so in order for us to fix the problem, we got to call that thing out by the root of it.
Mm.
We got to call that sickness out by the root.
Mm-hmm.
And when we call it out from the root, then it will cause everything else. And when deliverance comes, it will cause everything else to fall in line. The Bible says that when the woman was free from her infirmity, she was immediately healed. What was her next thing? Her next thing was she began to praise God. All right? So we're looking at, see, because she couldn't do it before. She couldn't get her dance on. She couldn't run around the synagogue. She couldn't scream and talk and excitement because she was happy. She couldn't do that, but she kept pressing her way. My God. And so when she began to press her way, when she was totally free, she did things that she could not do before. When Jesus deals with those in the synagogue, the Bible says, when the people heard what Jesus had said, and all those who criticized him for her healing, the Bible says they felt ashamed of themselves. Watch this. And when they felt ashamed, the Bible says, when they realized what they had done. See, I can get with you as long as when I check you and you see what you've done, the Bible says, and all the people were happy for the wonderful things he was doing. Watch this. Not that he had done, but he was doing, which means he continuously did the healing and walking through where they were. So this wasn't the first time they seen the miracles of God. They didn't have a problem with the miracle that God was doing. They had a problem at the time frame that he did it.
Mm-hmm.
We can never allow religious rituals overtake the freedom of God's people, and what God wants to set free are those who want to be free. My God, I mean, how come I got to wait till Sunday to come to church to get saved? Who told you that? Make your altar wherever you are and talk to your God. And said, God, I believe you are the Son. I believe Jesus is the Son of the living God. I believe you came and died for my sins. And I could do that right in my living room. I don't have to wait to get to Sunday morning. What if I don't make it to Sunday morning?
Amen.
Hmm.
Build your altar where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And let God free you where you are. Amen. My time is almost, my time is pretty much up. I'm just going to open up. I'm going to open up to anybody who wants to say something, share something. may have been a point that I may have missed that you saw that you that the Lord just showed you, and you want to just pull something out that you saw in the scripture as well. Everybody, just open and unmute your phone, and I just let me know what you see in this text as well. Amen. Got to get to the root of it.
Yes.
Amen. So for those of y'all who just listened, I want to challenge you, those who may be dealing with whatever issues, and let us understand that there are many issues that we deal with. There are many things that life has brought onto us. Watch this. This woman did not go searching for an evil spirit. Evil spirit came inside of her. Watch this. Mm-hmm. Notice something. Who was this woman? It just says a woman was there. Watch this. But later on, when he's reprimanding those in the synagogue, in verse 16, he says she is a true descendant of Abraham. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you're connected to somebody who's connected to God, do not think that you cannot be attacked with
Amen.
An infirmity.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
What she must have is that's who the enemy is looking for.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy is looking for the one who's close to God.
Yes.
He don't need to attack nobody that's already with him.
That's right.
Why would I need to attack somebody who's already with me, because they're going to help me pull this thing full force?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do whatever I tell them because I already have them. But he's always looking for the one he doesn't have.
Mm.
He's always looking for the one who's causing problems in the kingdom of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that's trying to tear down the kingdom of the enemy, those are the ones he's looking for.
Yes.
So you're going to be under constant attack. Mm. There's nothing wrong with you. Mm. The only thing that's wrong with you is that you have given yourself and made a direct connection with God. And because you made a direct connection with God, you made an enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And that enemy is going to continue to push and to pry after you until he feels as if he can overtake you. But true people of God know that even when the enemy tries to attack you, know that your God is able to still deliver you.
Amen.
Yes, hallelujah.
Thank you, hallelujah.
Last Sunday.
Thank you, Jesus.
The Bible says Job was an upright man who feared the Lord. But God allowed, watch this, he allowed Satan to test him. And the effects of the test would have caused most people to do what Job's wife asked him to do.
Right.
Curse him and die.
Mm-hmm.
But Job said, "You sound like a foolish woman." And as I read it to them in the easy-to-read version, the love that Job has for God, even though he had questions for God,
mm-hmm.
he just wanted to prove his innocence to God. I didn't do anything. Everybody thinks that I've done something. Job, what did you do? You must have done something, Job, but I didn't do anything. If I can, he said in the easy-to-read version, if I can just get to where he lives, so I can have a conversation with him and let him know and plead my case. And then surely he knows that I'm innocent. Watch this. He said he loved God so much. He loved the words of God so much that he loved his words more than he loved his own food. Now let me tell y'all something.
That's good.
Anybody. Because I know a lot of people who, as they call them, foodies, they love food. And when somebody talk about they love the word of God more than they love their own food, those are the type of people who will turn down their plate. Those are the people who will wait to eat. They're not rushing to eat everything because they rather sit down and hear the word of God.
Yes.
Because that can wait. I need to feed my soul. That's how much I love the word of God.
Amen.
I will continue to press my way and go. That's, and exactly this is what that woman did. She had to love the word of God. She kept coming to the synagogue. Please know that you can get your deliverance even through the spoken word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes God don't even have to lay hands on you. The preacher could be preaching, or you could be in a conversation, a spiritual conversation with someone, and your deliverance can come through the word.
Amen.
Just what was spoken over your life. That's how powerful our God is. Somebody said, well, if he's so powerful, why I got to wait? Because there are some things that are a process. I shared that too. And there are certain things that have to happen in your life because they're ordained. I need people to understand. I'm going to leave you this. If God has already preordained your footsteps, if God already knows what's going to happen to you from the time you were conceived to the time you die, and we trust God, and we know that God is able to do all things, why are we stressing? Why are we panicking? If I turn everything over to God.
Amen.
Doctor said, you're not going to make it. Okay. If that's the will of God for my life, he already ordained that. God said, you're going to get delivered from it. That's awesome. He already ordained that. So whatever comes in our life is never a surprise to God.
Amen.
It is only a surprise to us. So when we go to God about the stuff that we're surprised about, he's looking at us with the, I already know.
Mm-hmm.
But what you don't know is what's going to happen after this. You only know what you see. I know what was going to happen before you even saw it, and I know what's going to happen after you see it. That's how much I trust God.
Amen.
That's how much I trust. So, God, okay, I know what the doctor said. I know what the bank said. I know what the creditor said. But, okay, let's see what you say. Because I don't know the end result, but you do. So my faith is in you. And that's why I love the scriptures. I love the Bible. I love everything that especially we see in Old and New Testament. We see the faith of the different ones. They went through a process, but the end result, they always got victory, even in death.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to turn it back over to Elder Clay. Y'all be blessed in the Lord. I pray that all of you, we're dealing with snow out here in our New York area, and
yeah,
it's not holding us down because we're pretty good with dealing with snow. But I'm grateful for the opportunity that even if I can't get out, I can still be in connection with you, even by the way of phone. So I pray that you continue to support and be a blessing to our Elder Clay and this talk blog. And I'll see you on the next third Wednesday. God bless you. Turning over to Elder Clay. God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor Mixon. We definitely enjoyed your word on this end, and I just want to make a note on the snow. We do get snow here, too. All right, so we've been covered, and now we can see the ground. So we'll be praying, you know, that everyone will have a safe travels while you are going to and fro in the snow. What a powerful word for those of you who are listening. Please, please go to the archives. Go to Blog Talk Radio in the archives. And type in We Can Begin Again and share this with a friend. Amen. Because our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers and against the authorities, against all wicked darknesses that come against us. So whatever you're going through, whatever you may be going through, amen, this is a spiritual warfare. And Pastor Mixon definitely put it on the mark.
Okay, we need to know who we are and what we are fighting against. Amen. What a powerful word. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Father God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the speaker, Pastor Mixon. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would bless her coming and that you would bless her going, Heavenly Father. We pray, Heavenly Father, bless her from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet. And everywhere she goes, that everyone would know that she is a child of God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for what you poured into her. We thank you for what you're doing, and then we thank you for what you are going to do. We claim it by victory, by faith, in the name of Jesus. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. We'd like to invite you next week. I think we'll be in West Virginia with Bishop Charles Storm.
I can look beyond the